Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Exploring Missions wants you to know what's going on around the world, and some of those places are difficult places. Recently, we have talked about those places being in the Middle East, and our co-host Nathan Harper is with us. Nathan, things change quickly in some countries from one, I would say, government leader to another one, and sometimes there's violent turnovers, and it really affects the Christians there, doesn't it?
That's right. There's a volatility in the world. You could pinpoint certain places, call them hot spots, if you will, and many of those hot spots are definitely located in what we would call the 1040 window, where there's a lot of gospel need. But just because there's places where there's a lot of gospel need, maybe a lot of unreached people groups, that does not mean there are no Christian groups in those places. And so, yes, to answer your question, the Middle East is one of those type of places where there are Christian populations, even though they're small, but they can be negatively affected by government volatility and different things like that.
And sometimes it leads to death and imprisonment, martyrdom. But Paul was no stranger to that. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12, he was in prison, and this is what he said: "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. God is able to take those difficult times, difficulty, and turn it into good. But we who are not going those difficult times, we need to be prayer warriors for them, don't we, Nathan?"
Yeah. In this case, in Philippians that Paul is writing, he's speaking of his own imprisonment for preaching the gospel. And he's saying that imprisonment has resulted in a greater advancement of the gospel, more proclamation of the gospel. We tend to see those things as setbacks and as closed doors. But in God's economy, they can be an opportunity. Even persecution, imprisonment can be an opportunity for the gospel to go forth.
When you said that about closed doors and open doors, it couldn't help but think about open doors and how that's what they say on missions. You need to follow through. And even in those closed doors, he's working behind those closed doors to further the gospel. And that's what he's doing, and we praise God for that. So the church stands with our brothers and sisters praying that God would use them even in those difficult places.
That's right, and God can use us if we are in a not-so-difficult place. He can use our prayers, just like you mentioned, that Paul is talking about here in Philippians, that he talks about in Ephesians, about praying for open doors, that God would keep a door open for the gospel. And so we have roles to play, whether we're in persecution or just praying for those who are going through it.
Our prayers are important for our brothers and sisters in Christ that's in the world who are suffering persecution. They're in the midst of battles. So today, here on Exploring Missions, we're praying that God would lay it on your heart to be on mission for God, but also to be in prayer for those who are in difficult situations. Our guest today on Exploring Missions is Todd Nettleton. He's been on with us before, especially on the other program that I do, Exploring the Word. But today we wanted him on Exploring Missions. He is one of the men that I love to at least talk to at least once a year with Voice of the Martyrs. Todd, thank you for being with us on Exploring Missions.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to our conversation.
Well, brother, again, let me give this, make sure everybody knows you're the host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio program, and you can find that at vomradio.net, but also the author of the book, When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. So today, we want to start off, Todd. We may have listeners that are not familiar with Voice of the Martyrs. Would you mind giving us a brief history?
Absolutely. So Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians, serving Christians in more than 70 countries where they face some form of persecution for doing things that most of us take for granted, for having a Bible and reading it, for gathering with other believers to worship the Lord. In more than 70 countries around the world, that can be costly. And so Voice of the Martyrs seeks to help those brothers and sisters, as well as to tell their stories, just like we're doing right now, to let people know that that's happening, to let them know how they could pray. One of the unique things about the Voice of the Martyrs is our founders, Pastor Richard Wormbrand and his wife Sabina, were persecuted Christians themselves. Pastor Wormbrand spent 14 years in prison. Sabina spent 3 years in prison. And so they knew what they were talking about, right? They knew what those brothers and sisters needed, how they needed to be encouraged and prayed for and lifted up. And so that's a part of our DNA at Voice of the Martyrs.
Well, I want to tell you, they're heroes. But what Voice of the Martyrs has done, even from the beginning, is expanded and let people know and be on the prayer warrior side of praying for those Christians that are being persecuted. They're the church. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So what we want to do is give some updates. There's three or four, I don't know how else to say it, hot spots that we know that are in the world where things are really changing. Things are tittering on the possibility of more persecution. What's going on in Syria, Todd?
You know, I just had the chance to sit down with a Syrian Christian, and we recorded an episode for Voice of the Martyrs Radio, which I'm so thankful is heard here on AFR. And there's good news. Since the fall of the Assad regime, we've had churches that, you know, the church bells have rung for the first time in more than a decade. We've had churches that have opened their doors and held public worship services for the first time in a long time. And you think, wow, that's fantastic news. But one of the things he told me, and, you know, the government of Syria, the new Islamist government of Syria, is saying all the right things. But what he said is that he's from multiple pastors in multiple parts of Syria who have heard from the government, you Christians, you just wait. Once we get our feet on the ground, once we get established, then we're going to take care of the Christians. So they're clearly saying one thing to the rest of the world and a different thing to the Christians in Syria. And obviously that is very concerning as we look ahead to the future.
Again, that's one of the tactics of Satan, and that is miscommunication, lying, and the whole truth is never there with Satan. How about Turkey? And I did not know Turkey got a new name, or they just changed the spelling. How's that working?
They have a new name, Turkey. I think it's more the Turkish pronunciation than the English pronunciation. So Turkey. Same country, same government, just changed the name or changed the pronunciation of the name. They are systematically kicking out foreign Christians. So not Turkish citizens, but citizens of another country who are maybe living, maybe working in Turkey, in some cases have lived and worked there for decades. They are finding out that their visa has been terminated. Or when they go to renew their residence permit, they are told, oh, sorry, we can't renew it. You have to leave. You have to leave the country. And, you know, I think what's happening is a direct response to what happened to Pastor Andrew Brunson. We all know Pastor Brunson's story, arrested in 2016, put on trial, actually found guilty, but then released from prison and sent out of the country. That brought a lot of condemnation to Turkey. That brought a lot of bad PR. Hey, you're arresting this American. Hey, you're arresting Christians. I think this that we see now of foreign Christians being expelled from the country is a direct response to that. They want to lessen the Christian influence. They want to get rid of foreign Christians living in Turkey, but they don't want all the bad PR of arresting them or going through a trial. So they're simply canceling their visa. They're simply forcing them to leave the country. Or in some cases, they come what they think is coming home. They try to fly back to Turkey and they're turned away at the airport. Oh, sorry, you need to get on the next plane and leave. That happened to 50 foreign Christians just in the month of December. So we're talking about a lot of families, a lot of people being affected by this. And it's really kind of under the radar because the Turkish government is doing a good job of avoiding that bad PR.
they really want to try to live in both worlds in Turkey, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely want to sort of interact with the EU. They want to interact with the rest of the world and present this picture of a secular country, a secular republic where everyone is welcome and certainly your business is welcome. But the government in the last several years has moved in a more Islamic direction. And Turkey has always prided itself on being a secular republic. It was one of the things that they said, hey, we were founded as a secular republic. It's not an Islamic country, but the current government has moved in a more Islamic direction consistently over the last 5 to 10 years.
We're talking to Todd Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs. He is at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. But again, how about the Taliban in Afghanistan? Have they changed their mind about Christians, or are they still trying to eliminate them, Todd?
You know, it's interesting because we talked about Syria and the fact that the government is saying all the right things publicly. That's exactly what the Taliban did when they retook Afghanistan several years ago. Oh, yes, we want the girls to be able to go to school. Yes, we want to have a country where you're welcome regardless of your religion. But what we see now is all of those broken promises. No, no, we're not going to let the girls go to school. Oh, no, we're not going to change this. And so you see Christians facing persecution there. But oftentimes that persecution starts, and I think it's really important for people as we're praying for Afghanistan to understand this, that persecution doesn't start with the Taliban. It starts with your own family. And we recently heard the story of a young woman who came to faith in Christ purely online. She had never actually sat down in the same room with another believer in Jesus. But through social media, through the internet, she connected with Christians. She heard the gospel. She committed her heart to Christ, and she began to be discipled. Again, not in a face-to-face way, but through the internet, through social media, she was being discipled. One morning in the course of that process, she was worshiping with other believers. They were connected online, and she failed to realize she had left the window open. And her neighbor, their neighbor, heard what was happening. He heard this young woman singing Christian songs and worshiping Jesus and immediately went and knocked on the door. Her father came to the door and the neighbor says, "What, you know, I just heard this. How could you allow your daughter to be worshiping Jesus? How could you allow your daughter not to be a Muslim?" And the father's like, I didn't know anything about this. Like, what? I didn't know this was happening. But that young lady was then intensely persecuted. She was beaten by her father. She was then, when she wouldn't deny her faith in Christ and return to Islam, she was then forcibly married off to an imam, to an Islamic teacher. Like the father is saying, okay, fine, I can't control her, but now she's your problem, not my problem. She talked to one of our contacts just a couple of months ago. They've taken away her phone. They've taken away her computer. They've tried to cut her off from Christians everywhere. But she managed to give a message to one of our contacts. I'm still following Jesus. Please pray for me.
Wow.
And so I hope, as our listeners hear that, I hope they will pray for this lady in Afghanistan. We don't have to know her name. God knows her name.
Yeah.
But would you pray for her? Because she is very isolated. She is under a lot of pressure. And yet she is saying, I will not deny Christ. I'm going to keep following him.
Amen. Wow. Well, we've got a few more minutes that I wanted to ask you about one or two places, especially the Middle East. I mean, what's going on there in Israel and Palestine, but it's surrounded by those countries. Is anything about religious freedom, is it having any progress in the Middle East?
You know, there are some places where religious freedom is actually having some good things happening. And I think of one country in the Middle East. They have, for many years, they have had a book fair in that country. And there is a Christian publisher who has applied to come to that book fair and always before been turned away. But recently they were allowed to go and set up a table at this international book fair. There's a Christian publisher with Christian material sitting out on a table in a public place in this gathering, which, you know, that sounds like NRB, right? That's happening here today. But in that part of the world, that is mind-boggling, that Christian materials. And the Christian publisher was told, they were told, you can't have a Bible sitting out in the open, but you can have some Bibles in your booth. And if someone asks you for one, you can give them a Bible. And again, you know, at NRB today, that would not be a story. But in the Middle East, that's a story. Like, them being allowed to do that is a huge step. And so many people in that part of the world are interested in a Bible. They're interested in finding out more about Jesus. There's a country in the Middle East that in the last 5 years has really changed a lot of their laws. For instance, in women, in how women are managed and controlled. And now women are being told, hey, it's okay if you get a job. It's okay if you drive a car. And Muslims in that country who have been told for generations, well, the reason women can't drive is because of Islam. So now they're hearing, okay, wait a minute, women can drive now? Like, what changed? Did Islam change, or were you telling us wrong before? So it's raising all kinds of questions in their minds as Muslims. Like, what does our faith really teach? What does it really say? And when you have Muslims who are asking questions, that is an opportunity for the gospel seed to be planted. That is an opportunity for them to find Jesus. And we see that happening all over the Middle East.
Amen. We need to be ready to give an answer with the faith that is in us, no matter where we are. A country that I'm interested in and always had trouble enunciating it, Nathan, who co-hosts this program, he worked with a lot of people from this country as refugees that came to America. Eritrea. You can pronounce it better than I can. I always said Nathan could do it a lot better than me, but my Northeast Mississippi vocabulary sometimes is limited. But it's a small country, and I'd really not paid a lot of attention to it, Todd, until Nathan was telling me about it. What's going on there?
You know, I say Eritrea. I don't know that I say it like a native, but it is a country where there is a great deal of suffering, and especially suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. So in 2024, last year, there were at least 5 pastors in Eritrea that marked 20 years in prison. 20 years in prison simply for being a pastor, simply for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Right now, there are more than 400 Christians in prison in Eritrea. And the mind-boggling thing to us in America who love our rights and we know about constitutional guarantees, of those 400 Christians in prison in Eritrea, not a single one of them has been even formally charged with a crime. So they've never had charges filed against them. They've certainly never had a trial or had a lawyer to represent them. They simply get arrested. They go into the Eritrean prison system, and they don't know, am I going to get out tomorrow, or am I not going to get out for 20 more years?
No.
That is what our brothers and sisters there are dealing with. And this is not just people got arrested 20 years ago. There were people, I believe it was more than 50 people arrested in the month of December. So this is an ongoing situation of more Eritrean Christians being arrested, being put in prison. And it's under the radar of the world. Nobody is paying attention to this, but it is a human rights crisis and a site of intense persecution for our Christian brothers and sisters.
It's one of those countries that goes under the radar. And I thought I was up on all of this, yet I found out about this country and all the persecution. I know we're close to out of time, but I really want to hear from Nigeria. I don't know exactly why, maybe because it's close to Uganda and Kenya where we had, but Nigeria, I hear some things going on there. Give us an update on Nigeria. What's happening?
You know, we see many attacks in the northern part of Nigeria. You've got Boko Haram, you've got Islamists from among the Fulani tribe, both of whom target Christians. They target churches, especially pastors in that country. One of the things that Voice of the Martyrs is doing, particularly in Nigeria, is helping the widows of some of these Christians who have been martyred for their faith in Christ. And one of my coworkers was just recently at the center where we are helping these widows, and they are amazing. They are recovering. They are rebuilding their lives, but they are worshiping the Lord even in their grief, even in their loss, even in the trauma that they've had to endure. They are boldly worshiping the Lord. And my colleague actually, he sent me a video of them worshiping. He's like, I am walking on holy ground, just being here to see these ladies worship the Lord. And so that is the good news out of the persecution in Nigeria. Yes, there is incredible suffering, but God is doing an amazing thing, rebuilding some of those widows who have gone through so much loss. God is with them and God is blessing them. And it's such a great privilege for Voice of the Martyrs to be able to be a part of that process.
We praise God for Voice of the Martyrs, the difference they're making in Christians' lives around the world. Have you got 2 more minutes that I could ask you about China? We hear about the economic thing and the diplomatic, but what about the church in China? Could you give us a quick update?
Sure. China has gotten dramatically more closed in the last 10 years, even in the last 4 or 5 years. Xi Jinping, the president of China, wants to be the focus of all of the people of China. So he wants you to wake up in the morning, every morning, and say, okay, how can I serve the Communist Party today? What can I do to be a good communist? You know, we as followers of Christ, hopefully we wake up and say, how can I serve Jesus today? What can I do to build his kingdom? That is a threat to the Chinese Communist Party. That is not what he wants you to wake up and think. And so they are pressuring the church. They are pressuring even the registered church, the officially sanctioned church. Hey, I see that you have a cross in the front of your sanctuary. Why don't you take down that cross and put up a picture of President Xi Jinping? Well, why would I do that? I don't worship Xi Jinping. That's the kind of conversations that are happening. And that's in the registered church. Then you have the unregistered church, which every time they gather together, it's illegal. So they are facing even more pressure and more persecution than the registered church.
Todd, you have given our audience just a lot to know about, to pray about. And thank God for ministries like Voice of the Martyrs that is there to help them. And we thank God for you, Todd. Brother, we appreciate you being on with us here on Exploring Missions.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate AFR. I appreciate this opportunity. And it's a blessing to be co-laborers in Christ's kingdom.
We hope you enjoyed that interview with Todd. But because of the time frame, 3.5 weeks ago when we were interviewing Todd at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters meeting, things have changed in different countries. But one country in particular is Syria. So, Todd, thank you for being with us again on this update. And would you mind letting us know as much as we can know how to pray for Syria right now and the believers who are there?
Well, thank you, Bert. And as you say, things change so quickly. Sometimes it's your head kind of spins at how fast things are changing. Since we talked at NRB, there have been widespread attacks and violence in Syria, primarily targeting the Alawite, which is a minority Shia Muslim religious group in Syria. They were the group, former president of Syria, President Assad, was an Alawite. And so much of this has to do with sort of animosity between the new government and remnants of the old government, between the Sunni Muslim majority that is now the government and the former Alawite government. However, we do know of stories of Christians really being caught kind of in the crossfire of that violence and that battling. And so I have heard stories even in the last few days of Christians being killed. Right now, we don't know if they were killed because they were Christians, specifically soldiers looking for Christians, but we certainly know that they are caught in that crossfire. And one of the things that Christians in Syria are concerned about is, okay, if the Sunnis, if the government takes care of the Alawites, who will be next on their list? And is it likely that Christians could be targeted at that point specifically? And so we're certainly watching the situation closely, and it is such a key strategic time to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Syria.
When I hear stories like this, and not only in Syria, but other countries can change quickly, especially in that area and other areas where you have a change, or really it would be an overthrow of a government. So they could have been not necessarily friendly to believers, but I would say at least tolerant of them. So these regime changes, even though the person that's in charge is, I don't know how to say this, is evil, the overthrow of maybe someone of even greater evil to hurt Christians. And man, it changes quickly in these areas, doesn't it, Todd?
It certainly does. And one of the things to remember is the new president of Syria, a year ago, there was a $10 million bounty on his head from the U.S. government as a terrorist. And so that was a year ago. Now today, he's the president of Syria. And he has said all the right things since taking power. You know, he talked about, oh, we want a free Syria. We want a democracy. We want a place for all of the religions and all of the religious minorities. But what is happening on the ground from his soldiers and his troops is really undermining all of the flowery words that he said about peace and democracy and things like that. So it's kind of one of those, don't show me by what you say, show me by what you do. And what he is showing is really some of the same things that he was showing when he was part of Al-Qaeda and when he was part of ISIS. And now he is showing that animosity and that hatred as the president of Syria.
Well, one more thing. Is Assad still around, or is he, I know he's out of office. Is he still, did he make his way somewhere for safety?
He did. He is now in Moscow, living in Russia. The Russian government was one of his key backers, and so they welcomed him into exile. So he is in Russia.
So the possibility of him infused in trouble from the distance, Moscow is a reality, which would cause more unrest, which if they're not targeting Christians, Christians would be in the middle of this fighting, would they not?
They would be. I think I would be surprised to see Assad try to make a comeback or try to regain power. The Alawites were always a minority, and one of the interesting things in the story of Syria is how Assad was able to maintain control as part of a minority. He wasn't the majority. The Alawites were never the majority in Syria. And so one of the reasons I think he was so violent and such a dictator, such a harsh dictator, was to try to keep a lid on the Sunni majority and maintain control for himself and for the Alawites. And some of that is what you see happening now is sort of a clap back against that is, hey, now we're in control. We're going to get some vengeance for all those years that you guys were in control and that you were trying to make our lives miserable. Now we're going to make your lives miserable. But as you say, the challenge for our Christian brothers and sisters is like, wait a minute, we're in the middle of this. We're trying to live here. And it's definitely something that people can be praying about.
Well, Todd, we appreciate you updating us. It helps us to know more how to pray because of the contacts you have. You have more information than we do here, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Todd, for being with us, but thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and be sure and be in prayer for persecuted believers around the world. But right now, we're saying help those in Syria caught in the middle of the conflict there in Syria. Again, be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ.